Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
As we enter into the bowl season in this 2025 season, things can be a lot more hectic than they are today because this 12-team playoff makes things a little bit crazy. But how about a craziness of the chaotic 1917 season when the biggest news was a bizarre military game was not about the game itself, but a coach that came up missing. We have an on-field story of Utah Artillerymen's coach vanished. Timothy P. Brown joins us to tell us all about this amazing story from over 100 years ago, and it's coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Before we get into our episode today, let's take the time to drill that football right into the like and subscribe button on your console so you know exactly when the notifications come up of the latest releases of Pigskin Dispatch podcast for some more great football history. Now on to our episode. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to another evening and get to be entertained and educated by Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, good to be here. Look forward to chatting. And I do want to point out that this is a story where you realize you can never really trust anyone, including somebody you've worked with for some time.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, this is a Christmas special here, Tim, so you can't put these negative thoughts into the Christmas special. We'll never get on Hallmark with this.
Well, there's negative thoughts on this one.
Oh, okay. So we'll just count that as drama to build up the suspense here.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, this is, of course, based on a tidbit that Tim has written called the 1921 San Diego East-West Christmas Classic. What can you tell us about this great story, Tim?
Okay, well, I was getting ready to tell the story about the 1917 postseason.
Oh, my gosh, you are absolutely right. This is the postseason game. Let me start over again. Oh, God, but I blow that one up. Okay. Just go ahead and just tell the story. I'll figure it
out. Okay. So, before the 30s, there was really no football postseason for the most part. You know, there was the Rose Bowl had occurred in 1902, and then they didn't play again until 1916. And then they've played every year since then. And then there were also some just here and there, one city or another would try to schedule some kind of all-star game. A lot of them were all-star games, or teams would just match up. You know, they'd agree, we're going to play in Christmas in San Francisco or whatever it might've been. But so the Rose Bowl had been played in 1916, and then in 1917, the game was between the Mare Island Marines and Camp Lewis up near Spokane, you know, because of World War One was going on, travel restrictions, things like that. And so, you know, San Diego sitting there going, you know, it might be a good thing for us to host a game and, you know, have some excitement during the holidays instead of those guys up in Pasadena. So as things happened, In San Diego, there's a big park there called Balboa Park. And during World War One, there was a big naval hospital, or naval base there. And so over the course of the season, Camp Kearney, which was somewhere Southern California, the team that won their regimental championship was a group basically called the Utah Artillerymen. So they were a, National Guard unit from Utah that, dealt with artillery. They're a field artillery unit. So anyways, Balboa Park and Utah Artillery play on December 9th, and it's a tie game. So everybody's like, you know what? We should play a game. We should play another game, play a tiebreaker and do it on Christmas Day. So everybody agrees. We're all set to have the game. And but then some crazy things kind of transpired. So the coach of the Utah team was a guy named Richard F. King. And he had served with, the artillery unit along the Mexican border in 1916. And then when they got called up, started World War I, he's with them and, training troops and everything. And he was also then the regiment football coach. But it turned out he was kind of a sketchy character. He told people that he had that he attended West Point for 2 years, or that he attended Lehigh for a couple of years, and that he was Phil King's brother. Phil King was, not by then, but previously had been a an All-American at Princeton and had coached Wisconsin. So he just told a bunch of he was just always telling lies, and he ended up borrowing money from other officers and not paying them back. So people kind of got suspicious of this guy. And so not too long before Christmas, the King's superior officer confronts him and says, "Hey, you got to clean this stuff up. You got to pay your debts." And so the guy disappears. So, he's the coach of this team before this big game, and he just disappears. So he goes AWOL, from the army. And they so there's word that he, they saw him partying in Los Angeles or something. They eventually catch up, or then he mails letters from like El Paso and Chicago claiming that he was in France. Well, in 1917, you didn't get to France. There weren't planes crossing the Atlantic to get you to France. So, clearly he was lying. But while he was in Chicago, he re-enlisted with as under a different name, and ends up over in France, where he's spotted by a guy who had previously been under him out in California. So they report him. He gets, taken into custody, blah, blah, blah. He's shipped back to the States, and he escapes. And then he re-enlists a third time under a different name. And just all this stuff goes on. He's scheduled to sail to Siberia because the U.S. sent some troops there right after World War I. And but he incurred a bunch of debts, and so they arrested him when the ship got to Hawaii, and then they sent him back. So all this crazy. I mean, just the story of this guy is just insane. And this is at a time when, we didn't have national IDs, and there weren't computers to check out all kinds of things. So if you said your name was Bill Schwartz or Bill King or whatever, then you kind of got away with it. So anyways, this team unfortunately has to play the game without their head coach. They just learn about this. The guy just disappears like 2 days before the game. And so they ended up losing 24-13. So that was, a sad day for the Utah Artillerymen, but they were probably glad to be rid of their coach. And that guy eventually, after the third time that he was that they caught him, he and his wife, supposedly his wife, disappear and never to be heard from again. So no one knows if the guy, just took a fourth name or what happened to him, but there's been no sign of the guy ever since. So he could have met with foul play. Who knows what happened.
But he really wanted to be in the military, huh? He, I mean, he could take a job at like a grocery store or something instead of going to service. Or why not join like the Merchant Marine or something, you know?
Yeah,
Or
well, so
Canada's
this it's
Army.
kind of a goofy story. It's, tangentially related to football, but it's more of just this crazy, crazy, crazy story.
It definitely is. It's football is a big game and very widespread, and you get all kinds coming in. So you get some real characters like this fella that has a few issues with them, I guess.
Yeah, well, I remember I stumbled on this story because I collect RPPCs, and I ended up acquiring two of them. It's game photos, from that game, and a crowd shot. That's pretty cool. So, anyways, just in looking, trying to tell the story of those photos, it's like the coach disappears. I mean, can you imagine that in a big game today, a bowl game, and the coach disappears? So.
Hey, where's Nick Saban at? We can't find
Yeah.
him. Wow. Great stuff. That's amazing how you come up with some of these stories that have been long forgotten or people that are long forgotten just by you digging in, doing the archaeology, very befitting for your site of, some relic of yesteryear of football. And you do this a lot in your research, in your projects. Maybe you could tell people how they can take in some of these projects.
Yeah, just go to footballarchaeology.com. You can subscribe, and if you do, you'll get an email every time that I post a new story. I'm also starting a YouTube channel called Football Archaeology, and so kind of whatever floats your boat, whatever, if you're interested in football stuff, try to check it out, and we'll go from there, and then obviously keep coming on here on Tuesday nights.
Well, we certainly appreciate you doing that, and we appreciate you going to some other media and telling the story of football in every way that you can, and make sure we'll share links so people can enjoy that too through Pigskin Dispatch. And in the meantime, we appreciate you being on here and love to talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.